This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. To talk to Brian, Jeff, or Vic, dial 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Jaguars This Week is also sponsored by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and the Jacksonville Transportation Group. This is your exclusive home for the Jacksonville Jaguars. AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Wednesday night, July the 7th. Hope you all had a great Independence Day weekend. Brian Sexton with you. Jeff Loggeman is here. Joe Fortunato as well. Vic absent for one more week. He will return next week. Good news, bad news tonight, Logs.
About what?
Which one do you want to hear first? Good or bad?
Bad news.
No Vic tonight.
Oh, good news.
Okay. There's 5 weeks until the preseason opener in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's not far, is it?
No, it's not. We're getting close
really
to the dead
far.
Zone being over with.
Is it really that close?
Yeah. Yeah, training camp opens 3 weeks from Friday.
Yeah.
Which means
so it's
2 weeks after that.
Yeah, five and a half weeks. Right?
Friday the 11th of August. And do you know the significance of that date besides the preseason opener?
No.
It's Joe's birthday. When we're in Philly.
Yeah,
but not the 11th.
Oh, I thought you said it was
the actual date.
Well, turn your mic on and tell everybody. You told me we were going to be there for your birthday.
Well, yeah, the game's on the 13th. Friday the 13th.
Oh, okay.
And that's your birthday?
No. Mine's the 12th.
Ah, okay.
So we'll actually be in the city tonight.
Well, we got to have a little party the night before the game.
As long as I'm not paying.
Look how quick he goes to that. Joe's, Pat's, Gino's.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Jim's. It was Jim's.
Jim's. Okay. Just wanted to make sure that we had that right. So it's good news, bad news for you too, folks. 5 more weeks of dead zone. It'll start to heat up now. We will start to see players, rookies, signing in the next few weeks. And obviously, training camps will start to open, and it won't be 5 weeks of absolute misery. We really only have 2 more weeks of real doldrum show next week and the week after.
Yeah, there's things going on in the league. I think there's always going to be a place for news, certainly now that we're kind of approaching that, I know that date where you can sign veterans. They don't cost you as much.
Yeah.
Certainly
trickling in.
The Jaguars made some news today. I mean,
it's not a surprise to you either. I remember we were talking about it, you know, on the practice field, but when the Jaguars made the move today to release Reggie Hayward, I'm sure there were some folks that were surprised because they thought he still had something left in the tank.
Well, and I think certainly from the waist up he does, from the waist to the neck, there's no question that Reggie has what it takes to continue playing. Remember, he had the torn Achilles a couple years ago. Then last year, he had the broken leg, and that was a major injury.
Right.
And from the way I understand it from talking to Reggie, is that the Achilles that he tore was the one that really wasn't bothering him that much.
Yeah. He had 2 bad Achilles.
Yeah. So, and I had a couple conversations with Reggie, and I don't think he would mind me sharing it now. That, you know, he was really struggling with the decision to play or not. He's been through some major injuries. He was having to rehab again. And I remember this, like it was yesterday, when one of the OTA days, I pull up, and they actually happened to start practice an hour early because they were worried about rain.
Okay.
I didn't get the memo. Okay, so I'm showing up on time, which is actually an hour late. And as I pulled up, I see Reggie walking back to the stadium. And it was, the body language just said, it was almost a tragic, you know, vibe that just came off of him that, man, I just don't know. And he had one shoe on, one off. You could tell that he had ice on his one lower leg. And he just wasn't sure if he was ready or if he could do it again, you know, mentally and physically. And I know Reggie. I know that he is up front. I know he's straightforward. I'm pretty sure he had a conversation with the general manager and said, hey, look, you know, here's what's going on. And Gene is, you know, a stand-up guy too. And obviously Gene probably gave him some time,
right?
Because Reggie could be, if he's healthy, be a very valuable player to this team. And for whatever reason, he was released today. I don't know if it was that Reggie wanted his release,
right,
or if the team just said, hey, look, you know, We got to move on.
All right. In terms of Reggie the person.
Great
guy. As you look back, he's one of the great guys to come through the locker room.
He is a great guy, and I always loved having guys on the team like him. You know, and I'd put Brant Boyer in that category, Reggie Hayward in that category, just because they keep it so light. You know, he always makes it fun. I mean, football is a game, but it's a very serious business in the National Football League. And when you're in the grind of training camp, to have somebody that can keep the mood light and keep it fun is so important to any team. And Reggie's one of those guys. I mean, he's very serious about his job.
Right.
But at the same time, he knew how to have fun while doing a serious job and also make those around him enjoy it and have fun, too.
All right. Now, looking back at the free agent signing, it was a big deal when they brought him in 2005. $10 million signing bonus. He had 19 sacks in a couple of years in Denver.
I thought was a fantastic signing, and I still say that it was.
Right. It's just they really, when you look at it, they got one impactful year from him, and then injuries took over.
Yeah.
And that's the danger of
free
agency.
And that's football.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't predict injuries.
And you're talking about the person. He's the only guy that I can recall. I might be wrong. You might remember because you were in the locker room a lot more than I was.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the only guy I can recall that his name above the locker was his nickname.
Heyday.
Was Heyday. Everybody else had their name up there. His said Heyday.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just, you know, he was a guy that had that, you know, a guy that always wants to have fun. And I wish they were able to have a healthy Reggie Hayward for this year to be able to help some of this group along.
Right.
You know, I mean, you have Aaron Kampman, yes, but Aaron Kampman is a guy that's going to be rehabilitating also. It would be nice to have more of a veteran presence. And also, I mean, the guy's a fantastic player, and it puts more pressure, you know, on the younger guys to be able to up their level of play in order to secure their own playing time.
You know,
it's a disappointing thing, but at the same time, you know, Reggie could see the light at the end of the tunnel. He could see that he was getting close and wasn't sure when that end would come, but he certainly was contemplating when it would be.
You know, one more thing, and where they do the pass rush drills, offensive and defensive linemen, is generally away from where most of the fans are. So I don't know whether mm-hmm. they could see the way that Reggie interacted with. I mean, that was
hilarious.
That was his stage.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
That was where he got the most done.
Yeah, you know, and they really had a lot of banter back and forth over there in one-on-one. You know, Reggie, you know, offensive lineman would do something that would be, you know, kind of a little too aggressive, and Reggie would start screaming, whoa, what was that? Why are you being so mean?
Yeah.
You know, and it was just back and forth. You know, he made it fun not only to be there, I'm sure, as a player, but, I mean, he was fun to listen to because, you know what, in today's day and age, talking smack, I think, is so over the top. But Reggie's version of talking smack was just fun and playful. You know, and it made everybody just kind of laugh, even the guys that weren't in pads, the people that were watching, you know. But the rest of the releases, I don't think there's anything shocking by them.
Yeah, most Jaguars fans probably wouldn't be able to tell you the names.
You know, Vic would probably be a little hurt that Cameron Stevenson, a first-year offensive guard, was released.
Practice squad guy.
Yeah, and Vic was real high on him, and I never was. I think his feet were very limiting for him. The rest of them, a punter, Chris Hawkins, corner, wide receiver, Chris Magaha, Ben Stallings, a fullback. The other one's no big deal.
Guys brought in his camp, guys.
Not that newsworthy, but, you know, Reggie, yeah, I'm going to miss him because, you know, as far as having a guy come in and sit down with us and share a microphone,
he
was as good as it gets.
Radio and TV. Now, he came and did a couple of Monday Night Jaguars All-Access shows.
And even when the microphone wasn't on, he was a joy to talk to.
Well, you might see him. He might pop up somewhere.
You never know.
I would think that he would.
You never know. I'm happy for him because, you know, Reggie's – me and Reggie have talked a little bit in the last couple of years. He's in a great place. He's got a lady that he's absolutely and deeply in love with, and good for him.
Getting married, absolutely. You might see him pop up as a broadcaster is what I meant.
I think he did the what was it?
He did that
broadcast boot camp.
Yeah, up at NFL Films. So I mean, he's a guy. He's a talented guy with a great personality. So good luck to you, Reg. You'll be missed in Jacksonville. We got much more to come of Jaguars this week, and this portion is brought to you by Best Buy. Visit your nearest Best Buy. They're in Regency, the Avenues, the River City Marketplace, the Town Center, and, of course, in Orange Park. More to come. Jaguars this week right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Rolling right along here on a Wednesday evening. Sexton, Lagom, and Fortunato. Vic will return next week for more Jaguars This Week. We keep going, though, towards 7 o'clock in the conclusion of the program. Real quick, off the subject. Have we in any sport at any point in time ever seen what we're going to see with LeBron James and this whole announcement?
Oh, how about that?
I mean, can you imagine the money that's flowing? I mean, you see good players getting $86, $90 million contracts. Dirk Nowitzki in Dallas and Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City. Well, if they're getting $90 million, what is the face of the National Basketball Association worth?
Forget the money. He's got his own hour-long special.
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
I mean, come on.
You know what, though?
It's amazing.
To me, the thing that's incredible is just the dollar amount.
Oh, yeah.
When you're talking the NBA.
Unreal.
It's crazy.
And it doesn't have the ratings, the exposure that the National Football League does.
No, but they've got smaller rosters, more games, more cable TV money.
Well, because everybody has their own cable deal,
you
right?
Know, yeah, so, you know, that you don't have to spread the pie into so many places, I guess you could say.
And their salary cap, man. You want to talk about the NFL's salary cap, which is probably going away. This, with all the exceptions, the mid-roster exception, the million-dollar exception, it's tough to follow, but the guy's going to get upwards of $100 million if he stays in Cleveland.
Over how many years?
What, five?
I mean, he's still not making as much money as Alex Rodriguez. I mean, isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's twice as many games then as basketball.
Hey, more power to him.
I
mean,
if
he can make it, then obviously they're making it, so more power to him. But I'm not real big on this. You know, I got a TV show to make an announcement.
Hey, I'm not.
Just make it. Just show your check.
I wouldn't be surprised if it well crashes that $100 million mark.
Well, he can get the most money. And their salary cap is interesting because the team that has his rights or had his rights can offer him the most money.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams, he has to take a lesser amount. And just one more note on that. I don't know whether you saw, but Paul Pierce opted out of his contract with the Celtics, where he was set to make $21.5 million, opted out to make $16.9 million. To free up salary cap room so that they could bring in another higher-end player to compete so they could have another shot at a championship.
So he gave up basically $5 million
bucks
to the team to bring in another good player.
Right.
Yeah, that's admirable. But, yeah. I mean, you know, Paul Pierce has made who knows how much money in the NBA.
Well, and I think the bigger picture there is that so much of that money, it's the numbers are so big, they never see it.
Staggering.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't you see that a lot in the NFL hasn't Peyton Manning done that?
Yeah, but see, that's kind of the biggest, the only player, it's misconception, by the way, the only player in the NFL that has really saved his team money, and I'm talking marquee player, is Tom Brady. Tom Brady has took a below market contract for a number of years.
When they signed Randy Moss.
I mean, he was underpaid by almost $5 million a year when you compared him to Peyton Manning. At least, maybe even more than that. Then you start to hear, you know, over the years people have said, well, you know, player, he restructured his contract to help the team out with the salary cap, which you don't hear as much anymore.
No.
But you used to hear it a lot. Hey, they weren't helping out the team. All they were doing was taking money out of future paragraph 5 salaries, and they were taking it as a signing bonus because then it would get amortized out over the length of the deal. And so the players a lot of times were being portrayed as, you know, boy, how generous they are so the team can create cap room to go get good players.
But they weren't losing.
Or get under the cap. They were getting more money if you talk about present value terms because they were taking future money and getting it now in the form of a signing bonus.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when,
hey. They did a lot of that around here.
Boy, I mean, how in the world can that happen? I mean, you're a good guy, and you're getting more money.
Well.
I just love when that used to happen. I was going.
It's a win-win.
Man, I wish I was a good guy back when I was playing, taking all more money up front.
Absolutely, and winning the PR battle. So we'll find out tomorrow night. LeBron James is expected to make his announcement.
Hey, are you going to watch that?
No.
Joe, you going to watch it?
If
he was in Philly, you would.
No way.
To be honest, I don't care.
Yeah, you would.
I'm not a basketball guy.
I know, but you're a Philly guy. You'd watch it if he was in Philly.
Nah.
I don't care.
I don't believe you.
I don't care. But what I am interested in is how the drama plays out.
Joe's going to watch the Phillies play the Braves tonight in a meaningless regular season game.
It's not meaningless.
And if LeBron James was with the Sixers, there's no question.
He'd be a fan.
That I'd be watching the baseball game.
Okay. Right.
Well, I don't know that anybody who's listening to this show is going to watch it either. This is not a real basketball.
I'm not going to watch it.
No way. Real quick, back to the National Football League for the remainder of the show. The thing with Jamarcus Russell is so much bigger than most folks probably understand, and how it plays into everything, by the way, from the American Needle case on through, plays into next year's labor negotiation, but the Jamarcus Russell thing does in a particular way.
He's going to be the poster child for rookie pay reduction in the new CBA, and I believe that there will be a new collective bargaining agreement. I believe something's going to happen, but Jamarcus Russell is going to be kind of that last nail in the coffin to get the rookie pay scale down to a much more reasonable level. And
this latest thing with the codeine, folks, if you're not following, he was arrested with, what's it called?
Purple drank.
Liquid codeine. And I guess they'd been stalking him. They
supposedly had a two-month investigation going on in Alabama, and he got busted. And rumors had been flying, I guess, in Oakland about his possible use. He had been reported to be a very lethargic player, a very lazy player, and certainly that kind of runs along with somebody that's taking liquid codeine all the time. You know, kind of 1 + 1 = 2.
What is a guy who's got $27 million guaranteed dollars?
It really does equal two, Joe. I swear it does.
So this is going to change the way.
I mean,
that the negotiation
how much
goes.
Guaranteed money did Jamarcus Russell get without having played a down in the National Football League?
$27 million guaranteed.
What a joke!
Yeah.
It's a total joke. Okay, so
he made $39 million.
You got a guy like him who made $39 million, $27 million guaranteed, never played a down, and you got guys that you know are making. For example, Chris Johnson's going to make $550 in paragraph 5 base this year.
Right.
But yet Jamarcus Russell is probably done in the National Football League. He's certainly not going to, nobody's going to, you know, sign him this year. He's done in the National Football League for 2010. He's going to have to go somewhere else, whether it be Canada, UFL, Arena, wherever. He's going to have to go somewhere else before he gets back in.
Is this simple black and white? That's the Raiders' fault.
Well, you know, is it the Raiders' fault? Yes, they kind of blew the rookie cap out of the water when they did sign him. The total amount is the Raiders' fault. But there were many other teams that had him rated very high, but some didn't have him that high. The Raiders paid him more than the previous team the year before had done at that slot as far as guaranteed money. It just goes to show that you can't give that kind of guaranteed money to guys that you don't know. You know, and here's what they should do. Take all the rookies, okay? You know, control the signing bonuses, you know, somehow. I mean, they should be cutting, the first round should be cut in half. And then take all that money and put it in a pool, take half, throw it back to the veterans.
Right.
And increase the minimum salaries.
Okay.
Because that's shared by everybody.
Right.
And especially the low-level guys. The other half, do it as a performance-based thing to where the rookies that end up doing well get a playtime bonus. So if a guy plays a lot, no matter what round he's drafting in, he gets a certain amount of money based on, you know, formula. And then that way you reward the guys who play and the guys who do well at the rookie level, and you do it at the veteran level by bumping the minimum salaries, and then that way, especially because you know what? Hey, look, Tom Brady's going to get his money.
Right.
That's not going to change. You know, but the 50th, you know, through the 40th guy on the roster, you know, that kind of bottom tier without being the fringe,
right,
the bubble guys, those are the guys that need the bump.
The owners will push for it. Will the veteran players stand up and demand it?
I think the veteran players have wanted it for years.
Well, they have, but they haven't wanted to break ranks.
The problem has been was Gene Upshaw was always against it. And for what reason, I never understood, because years ago, And me and him got in this argument many times. And he used to say that we need it to push salaries. No, you don't. You got free agency to push salaries. I mean, what do you need rookies to make crazy amounts of money? That doesn't keep pushing salaries. Free agency does.
Sam Bradford, number one overall pick, quarterback for the St. Louis Rams, is likely to get somewhere near $50 million in guaranteed money.
It's crazy.
And there are serious doubts as to whether he will be a star or not. Look at how many quarterbacks have been picked number one.
I don't get that. Look,
why can't I think of his name? The guy
I'm all for the higher picks being
Houston
rewarded.
In 2002.
You know,
David Carr.
I'm all for that. But at the level that, you know, we're talking a guy who's never played a down getting $50 million.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Come on.
All right, we're due for news here at the bottom of the hour. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. 5 weeks out from the first preseason game. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. News is next on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back, Jaguars, this week. 23 minutes till the top of the hour and the conclusion of the show. If you'd like to join us this evening, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351 on the program. Covered Reggie Hayward, Jamarcus Russell's impact, and what it will mean for the upcoming labor negotiations. Just go back real quickly. You did say you think they will get something done, that we will not see a work stoppage in 11.
Yeah, I think so. I think the popularity is too high. I think there's too much at risk of losing. I think the players are certainly and will be willing to take a little less. I mean, the last deal that they did, I mean, it really changed the model tremendously in the National Football League. It really took away a lot of incentive for teams to go out and find new ways to generate revenue because of this TFL model.
Total football revenue.
TFR model.
Right.
And it really, I think, impacted the league in a negative way. And, hey, look, you know, I come from a union background.
Right.
And so I know what it's like to be on the player side, and I also kind of know what it's like to be on the ownership side because, you know, I'm working for the team as a contracted employee and as a broadcaster. And I've seen what it's done by when the model changed. I think it's got to go back to the way it was. And I think that it can't be a total football revenue model. I think it has to be a designated revenue football model.
Which is what it always said. It was DGR, designated gross revenue.
Or it can be a net revenue model.
Once expenses are paid. And that's what the owners are arguing for.
Because that's the biggest problem is that, you know, a lot of people say, well, what do you mean by that? Okay. Well, let's say me and Joe and Brian, we're all owners. We've got our own National Football League. And we want to go and find a way to make new money. We all take a dollar. Okay. We put it in a pot. And we end up making, we put $3. Okay. Our capital expenses are $3. We make $5. Okay. So, you know, our profit is $2.
Okay.
If we had the union working for us, how much money would you think that they would get? They would get 60-some-odd% of it. We're just going to make it 60% for round numbers, right?
That's what it is.
Okay, so the players would end up getting 60% of, guess what? $5.
Right.
Not $2.
Right.
$5, okay? So as owners, we invested $3. We made $5. Our net profit was $2. Okay, but this total football revenue model thing, right?
It's a loss.
We made $5. We got to pay the players 60%. We got to pay them $3. Well, guess how much profit we got at the end of the day? Nothing.
Right.
You know, so it takes away the incentive, and owners have to get very creative in order to find ways to make money that don't have a lot of cost. Hey, look, the league's got to find a way to where it becomes a net revenue model. So if the owner spends, we spent $3, we got $5, we got $2 as profit, that the players will get, you know, a percentage of that $2.
Right. The profit.
Not of the $5.
Right.
That's where the model is broken, and it doesn't work.
Well, again, rough numbers, and I don't know how.
In a very simplified way.
Yeah, no, you did a good
job.
That's
kind of it.
Yeah.
You know?
The players do get about 60 cents of every dollar, a little bit more than that comes through the door. And by the way, the ownership has, you know, between 38 and 40 cents on the dollar now, but they also have to pay player costs in terms of benefits.
Well,
so the players really get about 65 cents of every dollar.
We've all seen what's happened to the league since the model changed from a designated model to a total revenue model.
Right.
Teams cut back on staffs. Teams streamlined in all departments. The marketing departments, the ticketing
airplanes.
Departments. Yeah. You know, I mean, hey. And the Jaguars are one of those teams. And hey, there's nothing wrong with having businesses streamline stuff.
Driving the radio equipment around from city to city.
Yeah, that was what you did, Joe, in Dallas. But, I mean, that you know, hey, look, teams have to invest to find new ways to make money. And the problem with this total revenue model was is that if, obviously, the profit wasn't just crazy, it didn't make any sense to do. And there are some teams like the Jaguars, like Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay, all these other small
market
teams.
Well, New Orleans before they won the Super Bowl.
And even New Orleans now. I mean, New Orleans now still has a very limited prospects because, I mean, that city shrunk
right
in a big way.
I think if you looked at the number of teams that were negatively impacted, it would be in excess of 17, 18 teams.
Yeah, but see the big teams, you know, Dallas, New England, the New Yorks, Washington,
Chicago,
Houston, it didn't impact them.
Not as greatly.
Not as greatly, but it did.
Around, yeah.
But it did in a fashion, and that's not good for business.
They didn't have to shrink. I mean, when Dan Snyder brings in $300 million, he still has plenty to work with when he's giving away 60% of it.
But he still doesn't have. And the players need to see this. He still doesn't have a motive to spend $3 to make a five spot.
Right.
And so if he has the opportunity to do that, guess what he's going to do? He's not going to do that.
Right. They're going to sit tight.
And I don't blame him for not doing that because, I mean, you're not making any money.
Right.
You know, so the players have to understand some of that as well.
Understand.
And will they understand that? And will they get told that? I don't know.
One of the reasons why the Jaguars – one of the reasons there, and I'm not privy to all of them, but don't have a naming rights sponsor done, is you're giving away 60% of the value to put a name on the building right now in this current environment, which is why they haven't done it.
But if the owners say, okay, we're going to push for going for the net rather than the gross, isn't the union going to say, well, you'll never let us see your books to know what your real cost was?
Yeah, see, I don't buy that. Yeah, I don't buy that at all because they've pretty much opened their books
they
to determine what the cap was, you know, the previous year, so they can get a number for the future years. And see, I don't understand that speak. You know, I don't get that.
It's just politics.
They've
just
been
standing.
Audited.
Yeah.
They know what that audit
they
is.
They audit every year.
They are privy to that because that's what determines the cap.
Yes.
It's an independent auditing. The union keeps saying, well, there's a lot of money that's, you know, not part of this. Oh, hey. You know, there's an audit.
They come in every year. There's an audit team.
And
the league
doesn't audit themselves.
No, they hire someone to come in and do it.
So I don't get that. You know, I understand that, hey, there are ways that you can hide money. I understand that. But I don't get the line of thinking, well, you know, if you're not making any money, you need to open the books to us. Well, haven't they been doing that?
Yeah, they have. All right, we need a break. We'll come back and talk football with you over the last 15 minutes of the show, which is brought to you by JustX Watches. And you can get your JustX watch exclusively at Espling Jewelers here in Jacksonville. More to come after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back. About 11 minutes left in the program. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Just a programming note. 3 weeks from last night. Right? So, Tuesday, the 27th of July, the Jack Del Rio show starts on these very airwaves. And the Monday, to go forward just for a moment, the Monday following the first Jaguars game, which is Monday the 14th or 16th of August, the Gene Smith show starts on Monday evening.
Cool.
So, all season long, Jaguars fans are going to get Monday with Gene and Tuesday with Jack. Right, Joe? You weren't even listening to me.
I had it on another radio station.
Oh, yeah, great. Okay. Go away. So that programming note.
Hey, have you obviously Vic is on vacation, and when Vic does, you know, Jaguars.com, senior editor, obviously, does all the articles, but, you know, Ryan Robinson has been doing a wonderful job of doing news and notes and stuff at Jaguars.com. Did you happen to read the article or the interview that Ryan did called Sitting Down with Uche Nwaneri?
I saw it. I have not read it.
I thought that there was an absolute great statement in here at some point, and I'm going to find it here, but it was a two-part, two-page kind of thing. And he sits down and he talks with Uche, and Uche talks, you know, about himself and about the team. But he also talks about Tyson Alualu. And I thought it was simply fantastic, the response that he had. He talked about Tyson has some of the best hands that he has ever seen against, you know, any player in the National Football League, just from going against him in OTAs. And very active player, and so he had great things to say about Tyson, and I thought they were spot on from what I saw in training camp, and that's a good sign for Jaguar fans and the Jaguars having a first-round pick being so highly thought of. And this wasn't one of those, oh, you know, he's our guy, I'm gonna talk about him, at, you know.
Right.
Like, he's everything. I thought it was a very good thing that Uche did, and I thought he was right on the money.
You can read the story. It's at Jaguars.com. If you just go to the homepage there, their stories, most recent, are listed, and the last story in the list is part one, and the second to last story in the list is part two.
Favorite all-time song right here.
No surprise that Joe knew right where to go to get it, is there?
It's a great song. It's Traffic, Dear Mr. Fantasy. And we bring the song up because, obviously, Vito Stellino wrote an article. What's the date today?
The 7th.
Yesterday. So he wrote the article about Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be doing a fantasy football show on XM, Satellite, Sirius, whatever you want to call it, on Friday nights from 7 to 9. And was there a double standard because David Garrard wasn't allowed to do his local show on a Friday afternoon? And Vito basically, I don't know if he actually quotes the head coach or not, but he says that, you know, the head coach basically said that there is a difference between a quarterback's preparation and a running back.
You buy that?
Not really.
I just don't think any player can handle the rigors of a radio show. It's so much work.
Well,
I'm kidding. Joe's laughing. I'm kidding. Come on. I mean, you're sitting down and you're talking football, which you're going to be talking anyway.
Here's my opinion that, you know, any player, if it's on his time, should be able to do anything that doesn't jeopardize what he does on the football field.
Concur.
And a coach should not be able to say what he can or cannot do.
Hey, it keeps him off the streets on a Friday night.
Hey, if a player wants to be in
doing it from his home, I'm sure.
Bowling league on Friday night,
yeah,
he should be able to. If he wants to play bingo,
yeah,
let him play bingo.
How many NFL players do you think play bingo?
Well, I'm just
curious.
I'm just throwing things out there.
It was kind of an esoteric throw.
You know, but obviously you don't want a player to go out and play flag football, Steve Smith, on Friday afternoon.
Right.
You know, so as long as it doesn't jeopardize what you do in what your contract requires you to do for the Jaguars, it should not be a big deal at all.
The bingo reference just reminded me of Stripes.
I like bingo.
Yeah, probably not the version that they play at the VFW hall. But you remember Stripes
different.
When John
Candy?
Yeah, they were mud wrestling. We were at the bingo hall. Shut up.
But I think, you know, the coach shouldn't be able to say whether he should or shouldn't. But, you know, I think that the thing with David last year, I think, was kind of one of those things, hey, you need to apply yourself more and worry about the job that you're doing more than you do with, you know, worrying about a radio thing on Friday. Hey, David's got to put more time in. And I'm talking after the time punching thing is done.
You think he needs to work Tuesdays?
NFL quarterbacks do.
Yeah,
you know, most.
And that's it. If you want to point to it,
hey,
he needs to work Tuesdays.
David needs to up the preparation.
He said it himself. I mean, he said it all spring.
But you know,
dedicated.
And I don't monitor him.
Right.
I just know that he needs to apply himself more from the way I understand it. And when the whistle blows at, you know, the Flintstones rock quarry, he shouldn't be like Fred and Barney running to their car to get home.
Right.
He's got to stay a little late. He's got to study film. He's got to spend time with his guys, making sure that everybody's on the same page.
Well, did you see that ESPN the Magazine story about Matt Ryan in Atlanta and what his Tuesdays are like? That's really becoming the standard. I mean, I know Tuesdays, and as a player association guy, you know why Tuesday was set up as the player's day off.
And, Brian, it hasn't become the standard. I mean, it's pretty much been the standard that, that quarterbacks set way back in the 80s, and that most quarterbacks would come to the complex or – and nowadays you got email. And I'm sure that changes it somewhat to where you could get emailed video and game plans, et cetera. But back in the day, in the mid to late 80s, I know that the teams I played on, our quarterback went to the training facility on a Tuesday afternoon or a Tuesday night to get the game plan so that when he walked in the door on a Wednesday, he wasn't the one asking questions. He was the one helping get his guys where they needed to be.
He'd absorb it to a degree.
Absolutely.
Well, for folks, if you go and Google it, you'll probably find the story. But Matt Ryan goes on Tuesday mornings early for treatment and a weight lift. By the time he gets out, he's got a preliminary game plan in his hand, watches tape of the opponent, has lunch, comes back, and works with his receivers. Now, if you want to know why he's been successful, clearly he's got God-given talent, but he's applied himself to a greater degree than other players have.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at it that way, why wouldn't every quarterback in the league do that on Tuesday?
And David didn't have that reputation, so I think that the you know, hey, you need to worry about being the quarterback of this team more so than you do about being a media celebrity, I think well, that was kind of where that came from.
Right.
If I had to guess.
Okay. It makes sense.
But I'm just guessing.
It's a good guess. It's a really good guess. Hey, real quick, back to Tyson Alualu and DeAnthony Smith, the first and the third round pick, obviously. Mm-hmm. How important is it for them to get into camp before, or rather be signed before camp begins, to get in there on Friday, July the 30th?
Well, I mean, obviously they're being counted on to be, you know, big-time players for this team and to be in the rotation. You know, I think it's very important that they get in on time, but, you know, it kind of concerns me, though, this year is that I don't want to say that there's been collusion going on in the National Football League that you know, team. I mean, you see what's going on where players want new deals and they're free agents and there hasn't been a whole lot of activity by teams. But it certainly seems that the market's kind of dried up, I guess you could say, this year, more so than it has in years past.
Because of the uncertainty in 11.
Yeah, is that it?
Well, I guess it could be a convenient reason,
you know,
why.
Hey, look, hey, Brian, you want to know, is this the uncertainty or what? I mean, hey, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are getting ready to go into contract years.
Yeah.
They
never get there. Yeah, they never.
Are you kidding me? You know, so my biggest concern is that okay, if it's that way for Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, how's it going to be for the first round picks this year when it comes to negotiations time?
Well, the first second round pick just signed, so they got a long way to go.
And
climb up the ladder.
Is that, you know, typical? Yeah, typically most things kind of get going, you know, after the 4th of July. But, hey, look, if Tom Brady and Peyton Manning haven't gotten extensions coming up on their last year of deals, what's it going to be like for the first-round picks? Because, you know, what's their option? You know, the option that they have is they go back into the draft, right?
Yeah.
Hold out their services and go back into the draft. Well, hey, look, that rookie wage scale's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming next year.
It'll be very interesting. And, by the way, the last first-round pick, first overall pick of the first round, who did not sign before the draft or right after the draft, you know, agreed to a contract before he was drafted, was Jamarcus Russell. And he didn't get in until the end of September.
Yeah, I think
and Sam Bradford is not signed.
I think this is going to be a record number of first-round pick holdouts this year. I think the owners are really going to be hesitant to throw out a lot of big money up front.
Right. Loggy, thanks so much.
Yep.
Joey, have a good night. Folks, thanks for joining us. Talk to you next week on Jaguars This Week.